आत्मन भावयसे तानि न पराभावयन् स्वयं आत्मशक्तिमवष्टभ्य पूर्णनाभिरिवाक्लमः आत्मन भावयसे तानि न पराभावयन् स्वयं आत्मशक्तिमवष्टभ्य पूर्णनाभिरिवाक्लमः आत्मन भावयसे तानि न पराभावयन् स्वयं आत्मशक्तिमवष्टभ्य पूर्णनाभिरिवाक्लमः आत्मन बाय सेल्फ भावयसे मैनिफेस्ट तानि All those, na, not, parabhavayan, being defeated, swayam, yourself, atma shaktim, self-sufficient power, avasthabhya, being employed, urnanabhi, the spider, eva, like, aklama, without help. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As the spider very easily creates the network of its cobweb and manifests its power of creation without being defeated by others, so also you yourself by employment of your self-sufficient energy, create without any other's help. Purport. The best example of self-sufficiency is the sun. The sun does not require to be illuminated by any other body. Rather, it is the sun which helps all other illuminating agents, for in the presence of the sun, no other illuminating agents becomes prominent. Narada compared the position of Brahma to the self-sufficiency of the spider who creates its own field of activities without any other's help by employment of its own energetic creation of saliva. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you for coming. So it is said that there are three kinds of people. The people with little intelligence, what they do, they discuss about the people of this world. And the people with average intelligence, they discuss about the events of this material world. However, the most intelligent people, they discuss what? That wisdom. They discuss the wisdom. So here we see that the most intelligent firstborn son of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma himself is answering the questions raised by his own son, Narad Muni. So here, the discussion between the two great personalities is happening. And they are not talking about some ordinary people. They are not talking something about this event or that event. But they are discussing the highest wisdom. The creation of the Lord. How the Lord creates. And what all his energies are. So such a wonderful discussion is going on in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore it is said in Vedanta Sutra, the first foremost Vedanta Sutra. What is that? Athato Brahma Jignyasa. Isn't it? The first and foremost sutra given by Vyasadeva is this one. That he is indicating that we are supposed to discuss or inquire about the Absolute Truth. So there are two words here, Atha, Atha and Brahma Jignyasa. The first Atha refers that thereafter. That means, having studied all the Vedas and especially the Karma Kanda and having undergone all the Karma Kanda rituals and also experiencing the futility of this Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. And second Atha refers to, because we are human beings, so now having studied all the Vedas and also experiencing the futility of this material world, especially the Karma Kanda rituals, so now we are supposed to inquire about Absolute Truth, Brahman. And also another meaning in this regard is given is that after having traversed through all 84 lakhs of species, okay, and now we have achieved the best human form of life, isn't it? Ideal for self-realization. So having achieved this human form of life, now what is our duty is to inquire about nothing less than Absolute Truth. So therefore, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he told Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj to establish BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. And what is the logo of Bhakti Vedanta Institute? Athato Brahma Jignyasa. You must have observed it. That is their logo. So, once it so happened that in a school, teacher asked questions to the students. The teacher said that, I would like to know what all you will become in the future after growing up, after your graduation. This was a question raised by a teacher to the students. And she gave some nice papers to draw what they want to become. And the children, some children, they drew, you know, so-called, you know, small pictures of a engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or a fighter pilot or a singer or a preacher or a manager or anything. So many children, they drew so many pictures. And then one child also drew one picture. The child drew a picture of a simple one big circle and two dots with a smile. Emoji, nowadays we send this emoji. Smiling emoji. And the teacher said, what is this? What do you have drawn here? The child said, I want to become happy. So here is a happy emoji. The teacher said, you did not understand the assignment. The child said, you did not understand the life. Life is to become ultimately happy. This way, that way, whatever. Isn't it? Therefore, it is also said that Anandamaya Abhyasat. The living entities by nature, they are pleasure seeking. So, where the pleasure is available. So, our the Beatles group singer, he wrote in Krishna book saying that everybody is looking for Krishna. Some knows and some they do not know, isn't it? So we are all asking questions right from morning till late night about so many other things. So the ultimate intent is to understand where the happiness is available. But the Vedanta Sutra and all these wonderful scriptures, they guide us where that ultimate pleasure is available. So, when we were a child, we were very much accustomed to ask these questions. You know, for everything we had why, how, why. You know, children generally they ask questions, why is it like this, why is it like that. So then when we grow, we kind of, you know, forget this asking questions. We just accept, okay, whatever comes, the soul does accept it like that. But that is not necessarily the best thing to do. And especially when we come to spiritual life, so we may have so many questions to ask, no? So therefore, it is always better to ask and get it clarified. And somebody say that I don't have any questions, I want to just come and hear. That's also okay. Whether we are speaking, whether we are asking any questions, or we are just coming and sitting and just relishing katha. The three kinds of people, all three are benefited. All three are benefited because everybody is coming for one and only purpose, to hear about and understand about the God. So therefore, so when somebody asks questions, so we understand the mentality of that person. It is said that fool is not recognized until he opens his mouth. Only when somebody opens his mouth and utters few words, we understand what kind of mentality he is having. So here we see that Narada Muni asking questions to his father Brahma. And he has six questions he has asked in the previous verses. Some devotees, they discussed in the past what are all those six questions. And in answer to these questions, Lord Brahma, is answering now. So therefore, it is also said that Naham tishthami vaikunthe yoginam api hrudayeshva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishthami manarada. That means Lord Narayana is personally telling Narad Muni. He is telling that Naham tishthami vaikunthe, I am not residing in Vaikuntha. Yoginam api hrudayeshva, neither I am staying in the hearts of the yogis. Where is he staying then? Yatra gayanti madbhakta, wherever my devotees are discussing about me, singing and glorifying my holy names, tatra tishthami Narada, he is saying that is the place where I am staying. So therefore, when devotees like Brahma and Narad Muni, they come together and they discuss and glorify the Lord, that is the place where the Lord is residing. So also it is also said that Subhashita says that Chandanam Shitalam Loke Chandanadapi Chandrama Chandra Chandrayor Madhe Shitala Sadhu Sangati. So Chandan or the sandal is supposed to be very cooling, isn't it? And even more than that is what? Chandrama. The moon. Moonlight is also even more cooling than the sandalwood. And when you compare both of them, Chandra and Chandana, so even combined effect of coolness, what they produce, cannot be compared to the Sadhu Sangati. And when the devotees, they come together and chant and hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Because when we come in the association of devotees, so then naturally there is going to be a discussion about the Lord and His glories. So therefore, so coming to such a, association of devotees is very essential. So thus in today's words, Narad Muni is expressing his thoughts by saying that you create your own matter. I mean, he is saying that you are self-sufficient, just like sun, just what we discussed here. And also the example is given of spider. The spider creates its own cobweb without anybody's help. And also the sun. Sun is supposed to be a very self-sufficient source of energy created by the Lord. So we can just imagine how this sun is glowing since time immemorial, giving so much effulgence and heat. And it is going to do like that forever. I mean, almost like, you know, so many thousands and crores of years. And that is one manifestation of creation of the Lord. So therefore, anybody who says that, I don't know God, where is he, God? No. You should come in the bright sun and see the manifestation of the God himself. That is sufficient to understand. So previous to this, as I said, Narad Muni has asked so many questions, 6 questions. And in answer, later Lord Brahma says that I only recreate. I am not the original creator, I am only secondary creator. Who is the first and foremost creator is Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu himself. I am just recreating what he has already done. So that means he is so very honest. Here his son, his disciple Narad Muni is saying, you are Supreme Lord himself, as if, because you are creating so many things. So it is but natural to say, I think I am so like that only. No? Generally this is what happens. So once Srila Prabhupada met one famous guru. And this guru was known as Bhagavan or God by his disciples. And Srila Prabhupada happened to meet him, and then he asked the same question. He said, are you God? Are you Lord himself? Are you Bhagavan? So of course, when Prabhupada asks somebody this question, so he cannot bluff. He cannot cheat so many people. But how can he, you know, confront Srila Prabhupada like this? So he said, sorry, I don't claim that I am God. But my disciples say that I am God. So what can I do? Prabhupada said, what can you do? You can easily tell that you are not God. You can tell, can't you do that? But you are keeping quiet. Because you want to become God. So this is not a true God. True Guru. So in Science of Self-Realization, the book, there is a conversation. There are so many conversations with so many people, devotees. In one such conversation, we hear that one reporter came to Srila Prabhupada and asking so many questions about Guru. Who is a Guru? Who is a bona fide Guru? And who is God? And all those things. So Prabhupada very wonderfully explains there that Guru is not God, and he doesn't tell that to his disciple that I will make you God. First of all, he is not God, and he doesn't claim that his disciples also can become God, but rather he says that I am servant of God, I can also make you servant of God. Are you ready? So this is a disposition of a true spiritual master or guru. And also we hear this episode about Srila Prabhupada once when he was in America. And he preached all over, and then he left that place to go to Japan. And as soon as he landed in Japan, there were some rumors. That was happening, turmoil happening in US, America. So some of leading leaders, they had started this so-called philosophy of Srila Prabhupada being God himself, Krishna himself. Some devotees objected, Prabhupada never said it. Prabhupada, in fact, he said that Guru is not God. And these people are saying, no, Prabhupada is very humble. He doesn't claim himself as God. But we should understand that he is God, he is Krishna himself. So, and we should worship him like that. And some simple devotees, they didn't know how to answer this question, and this was kind of, you know, building up. And Prabhupada in another corner of the world, he happened to hear these rumors. Although in those days there was no social media, nothing like that. But still such rumors, you know, they spread so fast. Prabhupada heard this, and as soon as he heard that, he became furious. And he immediately told, this is a bogus philosophy, this will ruin our entire society, it should be immediately stopped. And thus Srila Prabhupada temporarily banned these, you know, so-called leaders for coming into ISKCON because they have created such a blunder. And Prabhupada made sure that we should never speak anything like this. And it is that time when Srila Prabhupada wrote his own Pranam Mantra. Generally, Pranam Mantra is written by the disciples. But here Srila Prabhupada himself is writing. He said that, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarane. That means, I offer my obeisances to the beloved servant of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta. And he is the one who has propagated the message of Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, he has annihilated the principle, philosophy of Nirvishesha, that is impersonalism and voidism. Thus Srila Prabhupada, he made sure that we should chant this mantra before we chant our japa, any kirtan, whenever we offer obeisance to his deity. So every time we are supposed to chant this mantra. That means he made sure for all time to come that how the Guru cannot become God, and he is never God anyways. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about self-sufficiency of the sun and the spider. Srila Prabhupada has given the example. And actually Srila Prabhupada has given deeper understanding in this regard in different of his purports. In one such purport, Srila Prabhupada read that although Krishna is self-sufficient and is all-powerful, full with all six appellances, nonetheless, he wants us to surrender. So therefore he said that Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. He says that, so please surrender unto me. And there is no need for him to say these words. He is self-sufficient. Whether somebody surrenders to him or not, he doesn't need anybody's help. And not only that, he says that Patram Pushpam Palam Tuvim, he offer this and that to me. As if he is, you know, dependent on devotees. And then sometimes as a child of Mother Yashoda, he begs for some food and he becomes, you know, fearful of Mother Yashoda, as if he is subordinate to her. Why? Because out of love for Mother Yashoda. And sometimes he tells his devotee that my temple is very run down and it's very old. I have no facility here, so can you come and, you know, renovate this temple? He comes in the dreams of devotees and tells, as if, you know, he has nothing himself, he cannot repair his own temple or like that. Sometimes he is buried under the earth and he comes in the dream of a devotee and tells that, get up and also take me out of this place, I am feeling very hot, so apply some chandan, this and that. So this is how Lord instructs his devotees, as if he is helplessly, you know, lying down under the earth. And sometimes he tells his devotees to preach his glories all over the world. And although he is quite competent himself, he can preach all over the way. He doesn't have to even preach. He's sitting in the form of Paramatma. He can make everybody self-realized. There is no need of even preaching. But still Krishna expects that his devotees to come forward and preach the message of Godhead. Although he is self-sufficient, husband of goddess of fortune and full with all six opulences, but still Krishna expects his devotees to render these service to him. So thus, we can understand the relationship between Krishna and his devotees is very, very confidential, very sweet. So Therefore, he also said that nimitra matram bhavasva vesachin. As if Krishna depended on these five Pandavas, especially Arjun, to win the war. He had already defeated so many Akshavani divisions of soldiers before coming to this Kurukshetra. We all know that Jarasandha, he came so many times, dozens of times he comes and he tries to defeat the Lord, but he himself is defeated with more than what the soldiers of Kurukshetra were. Also Krishna killed so many demons in the Vrindavan. Other day Gaur Vilas was telling that Krishna is never known for killing all these big demons. Putana, Trinavarta, Keshi, Shaktasur and Aghasur and so many other demons. But all the glories go to whom? Pandavas, because they were the winners of this great Kurukshetra war. So Krishna wants to glorify his devotees more than himself. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is a perfect preacher. He could have traveled all over the world and preached. But still he kept that service for his devotees. Srila Prabhupada writes there. So he depends on his devotees to preach his own glories so that all people can become devotees of the Lord. So these are the amazing and very attractive qualities of the Lord. We naturally fall in love with Krishna looking at his beautiful attractive qualities. And also in this regard, the example of a potter is given. Potter, one who makes the pots. The potter is there, his potter wheel is there and clay is there, so many tools are there and he's working very hard to get a pot. But ultimately, what is more important here? The pot or the clay or the tools or the potter wheel? What? The potter himself, isn't it? It is the potter, it is that person who is making these pots. He is most important than him. Of course, these ingredients are required. But let us say, if all the ingredients are there, if the potter is missing, can we get any pots? Is it ever possible? So therefore, the most important cause is the potter himself. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, who is the ultimate cause. There may be immediate causes, these clay tools and wheel and so many other things. They may be immediate causes, but the ultimate cause is the potter himself. That potter, that personality is none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, scientists are yet to realize this fact. Hopefully they will realize this in future and understand who is the creator behind the creation. Sometimes we see people hanging boards in front of their homes or on some piece of land. This belongs to so and so, and trespassers will be prosecuted, isn't it? And it's a very funny thing to see like that. Of course, we have to do that these days, otherwise people will come claim that our own land is their own land like that. So therefore, we devotees understand, but also people have to understand that who is the real owner? Who is the real owner of any piece of land? So therefore, in 12th canto, Bhumi Geet is there, where Mother Earth, she is laughing at these people who are actually claiming that this piece of land belongs to me, that piece of land belongs to me, like that. Although everything is a property of the Lord. And she says that so many kings, emperors, they come, they claim that I am the emperor, this belongs to me, I am the owner of this place, and like that. They come and then they go. They come and then they go. The earth itself is permanently looking at this and laughing at her children's play. The children come and play, I am the owner of this place, although it is belonging to their own father, the Supreme Lord. So therefore, unless we don't see any such boards hanging. So this is a place created by me, Lord Krishna. So we don't see such boards unless we open the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Therein he says that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajanti Mam Buddhabhava Samanvita. Aham Sarvasya, he actually claims that I am the proprietor, originator of this place. Everything comes from me, Matta Sarvam Pravartate. Iti Matva Bhajanti Mam, anybody who understands this and worships me, Buddhabhava Samanvita, he is in consciousness with me. This is how Krishna very wonderfully explains. Therefore, we are supposed to understand who is a real owner, and that is possible only when we read the scriptures. So once Srila Prabhupada was along with his disciples taking morning walk on one beach he was walking by, and there was actually beautiful sunrise. And so many devotees, they were walking with Srila Prabhupada and they were acclaiming and beautiful scenery in front of them. They were saying that Prabhupada, is such a beautiful atmosphere here. And the sun is rising and so many beautiful colors and vast ocean. Isn't it a very picturesque sight here? Prabhupada looked at it and he nodded. Yeah. We have only seen the artistic capabilities of the Lord. Have you seen the artist? If you think that artwork is so beautiful, then what about the artist? How beautiful he must have been. Prabhupada actually hinted to these devotees that we should actually understand there is a creator behind the creation, the artwork, artist behind the artwork. So another, once it so happened that Yadurani Mataji, we all know that she is a great artist, guided by Srila Prabhupada himself. And she is the one who has painted so many paintings, especially this nursing bay we see in the altar, that is painted by Yadurani Mataji. So Prabhupada would guide her to tell her to paint for his books. And once the assignment was given to her that she is supposed to paint Paramatma. Lord in the heart, we see that second chapter, second canto, we see the Lord in the heart. So he told her to paint the Paramatma. And he gave all the description. He is 400 form of the Lord and he has a beautiful complexion like that of a monsoon rain cloud. And he has dazzling ornaments and Kaustubha jewel and Vaijayanti mala and all those things. And then and she had so many other questions to ask. What about this? What about that? Although he had given sufficient information, but still she wanted to know more. Then Prabhupada said that means you have to go to now Himalayas. Go to Himalaya and there you sit for meditation for thousands of years. Meditate on the Lord completely in full samadhi. Then you may realize that the form of the Lord which is within your own heart and how he looks like. So for that you have to go to now Himalaya, which you cannot do. You are so fortunate you have come to me, Prabhupada said. You are so fortunate you have come to me. And then in return what I am doing, I am explaining to you how is Paramatma and all of that. Isn't it a wonderful, simplest of the way to understand who God is and how he looks like. Okay. So therefore, when we go to a bona fide spiritual master and inquire about the absolute truth, it saves our time, energy and even money also, because you have to go to all these places, then you have to spend a lot of money, and who can do that? So therefore, it's the best method to approach a bona fide spiritual master and inquire about the absolute truth. So therefore, in the past we have seen that how Arjuna inquired perfect questions. He asked so many perfect questions and perfect answers came in the form of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So Parikshit also asked so many perfect questions, and in return came perfect answers in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, a book also has been written, I mean, titled as a perfect question and perfect answers, isn't it? Bob Cohen, what is his actual this thing name, initiated name? Brahma Tirtha Prabhu. Brahma Tirtha Prabhu asked so many questions to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada answered all those questions, and Prabhupada said these are the perfect questions, because he asked a very ideal questions, and Prabhupada has given the perfect answers, ideal answers. So therefore the title of the book is Perfect Questions and Perfect Answers. So as I said that sometimes we don't know what question to ask. So no, it doesn't matter. Even if we have any questions, we can ask. Otherwise, we can just come and hear Bhagavatam, because all the three, one who is speaking, one who is inquiring, and one who is actually just hearing, all the three are benefited. And as I said that all the living entities, we are all actually in search of God. George Harrison, he said that all are looking for Krishna, but some of them they know, most of them they do not know. Okay. So, but when we actually find Krishna, so the Prachetas in the fourth canto, they say that Parijata Anjita Labdhe Saranga Anyanna Sevate Tadangri Mulamasadya Sakshat Kim Kim Runimahi. They say that after getting the darshan of the Lord Vishnu is standing in front of them and giving them beautiful darshan. All ten of them, they are saying that Parijata Andisa Labdhe. That means this bumblebee, which is in search of honey, and he wanders here and there and all the gardens, he tries to find that nectar from this flower and that flower, but he is never satisfied, because no honey is able to satisfy these bumblebees. So therefore, unless they find the Parijata, Parijata is a heavenly flower which is available in heavenly planets, or very beautiful flower. When they get to go to this Parijata flower and suck the honey from this flower, then they are completely satisfied. Then there is no more want of further, you know, search for honey, because all the the search for honey is over, because they have got not this flower or that flower, but the best of the flower. Similarly, they are comparing the lotus feet of the Lord, that when we have achieved you, my dear Lord, so now we don't have to search for here and there for any of happiness. So therefore, unless the living entity understands his original constitutional position is to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, he'll always feel himself unsatisfied. So therefore, the best course of action is to understand our constitutional position and then to actually engage in the service of the Lord. And especially how in this age of Kali Yuga we engage in the service of the Lord, that is by chanting of the holy names, isn't it? So, in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami has given that shloka, wherein he says that Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sutapya Vidya Pittopatar Tapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintu Adarad Anudinad Khalusaiva Jushtat Swadit Kramad Bhavati Tadgata Moolahantri. He said that the Krishna Nama, the beautiful names of Lord, Nama, Rupa, Charitra, all these are Sitapi. Matlab, they are as sweet as sugar candy. pittopatapta rasanasya narochikanu. He said that, but one who has afflicted by the disease of jaundice actually cannot relish these beautiful aspects of the Lord. But then that is only the problem. He has specified the problem, he has also given the solution. What is that solution? Kintu adarad anudinat. Anudina is every single day. And adaratmit with awe and reverence. That means we are supposed to overcome the 10 offenses for the holy name and then chant. Kintu adarad anudinat khalu saiva jishta swadvit kramad bhavati tadgada moolahantri. That means the disease of jaundice is uprooted from the root itself. So then one can actually realize the form of the Lord, the holy names of the Lord and the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. Because we are infested with this jaundice, which is because of coming in touch with this material modes of nature and having lived here for a very long period of time, so we acquired this disease. So therefore, we are supposed to drink this nectar. Although it is nectar, but we don't see it as a nectar. We all have experience of sitting in the morning and trying to complete our round chant, the holy names. It becomes such a difficult task initially because of initial struggles we may have to undergo all these things. At the same time, although it is nectar, initially it may appear like poison, but over a period of time, we understand that it is actually nectar. But it may take some time. We have to be, until then, very, very patiently, we should continuously chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Generally, in this world, medicines are supposed to be very bitter, isn't it? So therefore, we hesitate taking these medicines. And when we understand that holy name is also medicine, okay, then it also, bitter. Outside medicines are bitter, here it is also bitter. So is it the same thing? No. Again, we have to refer to the scriptures. They are not like that. Because one who is having a jaundice kind of a disease, jaundice is it such a disease that anybody who has that jaundice will find the sugarcane juice or sugar candy to be very bitter, although it is not. But in order to cure the sugar candy, we have to drink all these juices and eat sugar candies. So, therefore, we are supposed to understand that the medicine and the disease also. The disease is what we have right now and the medicine is simple one. And whenever we take medicine, little overdose, again there are so many side effects, isn't it? Side effects. But here is a medicine, we can take how much ever we want. Therefore, devotees are not happy with 16 rounds. They chant 20 rounds, 25 rounds, 32 rounds, 64 rounds, isn't it? So, there's such a overdose of medicine. Will something happen? No, never, never. We don't see that. Because it is not a mundane medicine, but it's a transcendental medicine. So, therefore, it will have its transcendental effect in due course of time. So also today is the disappearance day of Kaliya Krishnadas. So we'll discuss something about him and end our class. Kaliya Krishna Prabhu is the principal devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. It is said that he is very dear to Lord Nityananda. And it is said that he knew nothing but the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. He was so dedicated to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And in Gaur Ganudesh Deepika, it is mentioned that Kaliya Krishnadas Prabhu is none other than one of the 12 Gopalas of Lord Krishna. His name is written there, Labhanga. Labhanga is one of the 12 Gopalas. and is one of such one Gopals. And he's not the Kala Krishna Das which we hear in often from Chaitanya Charitamrita, one who traversed with Lord Chaitanya and he got in trouble when he was dealing with Bhattaharis. He's not that. Although name appears same, is a different one. And his birthplace is in near Bardhaman district, near Katwa. So this is the place where he took birth. So more details are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Kali Krishna Das. And also in this month of December, you know, we have the chance to distribute the nectar. You know? So therefore it's also spoken in Gita Mahatmya that Sarva Upanishad Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Partha Vasva Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amrita Mahat. That all the Upanishad, all the Veda are just like cow. And the cow is very happily giving the nectar. The first recipient of this nectar is Arjuna himself, because Lord is like that person who is actually drawing the milk out of this cow. Dugdha Gopalanandana, Krishna himself is drawing milk out of cow. The first drop of nectar is drunk by none other than Arjuna. So, and therefore anybody who drinks this nectar, it is said that Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. It is Amrita, it is a nectar. So all throughout the year we drink nectar, we relish Bhagavad Gita and we relish Srimad Bhagavatam. And now it is the time to distribute that nectar. So therefore it is 11 months we drink nectar. So only 1 month we are supposed to go out and in whatever way possible, we can distribute this nectar in the form of Bhagavad Gita. Because the message of Godhead is not supposed to be only meant for Indians. It is not restricted to this community or that community. However, the Lord is Father of all. So therefore, this nectarian instruction of Srimad Bhagavad Gita should reach every person. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada made it a yearly event. Isn't it? Although we distribute books all throughout the year, but especially this month of December, we dedicate, we give more efforts and we work hard to distribute Bhagavad Gitas in different ways possible with one's own capacity. And when we do that, we are actually fulfilling the desire of the Lord. And also Lord glorifies that one who distributes this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is most dear to him, Lord. Lord Krishna is personally telling. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he used to say that if you want to please me, then distribute my books. So Prabhupada has made it a wonderful service for all of us. So here is a opportunity for all of us to please Srila Prabhupada and please Lord Krishna himself by distributing Bhagavad Gita. So let us end at this point of time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Grantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hare Krishna. Thank you.